From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White in today for Beth Ruyak. Today marks 3 weeks since the explosive start of the Camp Wildfire in Butte County. And to date, officials have identified at least 88 people who lost their lives in that fire, with nearly 200 people still unaccounted for. It is by far the deadliest wildfire in California's history. Roughly 14,000 residences were destroyed, leaving thousands homeless. Joining us today is Mark Ghilarducci. He's the director of Cal OES, the agency tasked with coordinating the disaster recovery efforts. Mark, welcome to Insight.
Good morning.
And your office is managing the efforts, but you are partnering with FEMA, correct?
We are partnering with FEMA. Once the president declared this a major disaster declaration at the federal level, then FEMA came in and has been working side by side with us.
And it's not like there's just one trouble spot to be concerned with. What does your priorities list look like, and what's at the top?
Well, you know, right now we're still focusing on dealing with supporting the disaster survivors who were able to evacuate. Many of them are still in shelters. We're trying to work diligently to get them into transitional housing, whether it be in their hotel rooms or into rental properties. So one of our big priorities right now is housing. As well, we're continuing to support the search operations that are still underway. That is making sure that we can account for any additional fatalities, and that's hopefully going to be coming to an end soon, but it still is an active operation, and we're making sure that we can buy down the people who have been reported still unaccounted for and you know, continuing to search up in that area. And then we're in the process of beginning the overall effort of how are we going to deal with just a massive amount of debris that has been left. You have, in essence, the town of Paradise, which has essentially been destroyed. And, you know, between commercial and public buildings and individual residences, we're close to about 18,000 structures in Paradise and then the surrounding communities. So it's a big effort there, and we're in the process of working closely to be able to deal with that as well.
The rains, of course, were welcomed. How have they complicated your efforts?
Well, I mean, it makes it a lot more, you know, sort of miserable in that sense of being up there and doing the search operations. We've had to mobilize very rapidly to put in mitigation efforts to minimize mud flows or debris flows that may occur as a result of the rains, clear out some sort of basins and these kind of things. So there's been a big effort. It slowed a little bit of our process because the winds that came with the rain started to bring down trees that had been damaged by the fire but had not come down, and that became a major safety issue. And so we had to work in and around those areas. We had to go in and remove some of those trees a little faster than we thought. So, you know, the rains are, you know, flash flooding and the potential for all of that is here. And in essence, it's sort of rolling from fire to flood. We are just reacting and proactively reacting to the new situation.
Mark, in terms of housing, I know that FEMA now is offering some roughly 2,000 trailers that evacuees can use. I imagine those are mostly short-term housing option. What is your biggest challenge when it comes to accommodating everyone that needs a warm, dry place to stay?
Well, it's a great question. You know, what we want people to do who have been impacted by the disaster is, of course, call in and register on the FEMA disaster line and get into the system. People who qualify, who are eligible, you know, we want to get them out of a shelter. We will, you know, our first line of defense is really kind of getting them into like a either a hotel solution or into a rental property. Rental property is the best way to do that because, you know, there's really nothing better than getting into a home and you know, kind of starting to get your life reorganized again. Problem is that rental properties are, you know, either they've been consumed now completely in the Butte area, or they were limited in the first place and requires us to go a little bit further out in surrounding counties. That means that people may have to, you know, end up having to travel back into work. And so our focus is trying to keep as many people within who live in Butte County in Butte County. If there's no rentals available or we've exceeded what people are willing to do, even if they're willing to go outside of the area a little bit, the next step that we look to is trying to find a place where we could put in either travel trailers or fifth wheels for those individuals who that works for and some that does. If not, then we will actually go in and place in a what's called an MHU, a manufactured housing unit. It's a mobile home in essence. And those typically take a little bit more to get on the ground because you have to have, you know, obviously sewer and water and all of the wraparound to be able to do that. And so that's more of like a 60-day solution. And so we've been actively working to identify locations in the Butte County area where we could put in some mobile home parks, I guess you could say, so that we could have a number of people get into those. And you know, what we're doing, we're in that process right now of trying to identify those families who are interested in that solution. But we're not waiting to actually go in. We know we're going to need that solution. And so we're in the process of also getting the land, securing the land, and we have been staging a number of those units, both at McClellan and then also up in the Ford area, in a staging area that we have in Butte County, in anticipation of actually getting them put on the ground.
There are the daily activities that we often take for granted when we're not in a situation like the evacuees of the Camp Wildfire. You know, those include, you know, going to the dentist or just taking our daily prescription and those sorts of things. How do you deal with health concerns, mental health concerns, prescriptions, all those sorts of aspects?
Yeah, another great question. So this is really a massive operation. It's coordinated all through the state operations center here in Mather in Sacramento at OES headquarters, and we're working very very closely with Butte County or so many different state and federal agencies that work to address what the needs are. So what happens is the needs, whether it's pharmacy support or if it's some sort of a medical item or commodity comes up and we identify what that need is and then we fulfill the need. It could be fulfilled through the ability of state agencies or departments. It could be fulfilled through turning to our federal counterparts at FEMA and they tap into a federal system of resources to be able to fulfill that need. It could be our Office of Non-Governmental and Philanthropic, where we go to the private sector and the private sector partners with us to fill the need. Or we may just go in and contract to be able to meet that need. But in the forward area, we have actually placed in, you know, medical facilities. We've got our pharmacists, doctors, medical teams from Department of Public Health and our Health and Human Services Agency, our Emergency Medical Services Authority, and then federal HHS. They're all in theater working on those issues. But it ultimately identifies from the field what the needs are, whether it's at a shelter or it's at another location, and that comes up through the State Operations Center. It's coordinated and it's rapidly turned back around to fill the need.
We are hearing from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services Director, Mark Ghilarducci, about where recovery efforts now stand as we hit the 3-week mark since the start of that deadly and destructive Camp Wildfire in Butte County. And I'm curious, Mark, has Cal OES ever dealt with a disaster of this scale?
Well, the answer is yes. I mean, we've had, you know, obviously the Northridge earthquake and we had the Loma Prieta earthquake in recent time. But from the standpoint of a fire and the number of losses of single family residences, or in this case, actually losing an entire town is a first for us. And so we've had to, you know, we're, you know, whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, we're coming fresh out of the 2017 fires where, you know, large portions of Sonoma, Santa Rosa, Mendocino, Lake and Napa counties all had massive losses. And we, you know, that there's a lot of different operational constructs and processes that we follow that we just move from because we're still managing. In fact, just before the fire that took place in Butte, as you probably remember, we had the car fire up in Shasta in Redding, where we had that fire tornado that was so dramatic, and then the Mendocino complex that burned for days. You know, we've been very much engaged in this nonstop for the last couple of years. And, you know, really, we're just sort of rolling into this one. But I will tell you the size and scope and scale of this is really a first from the context of the loss of structures.
And because of the nonstop nature that you just painted and the size and scope of this wildfire, how are your workers doing? With a tragedy of this scale, I imagine the day-to-day stresses begin to take a toll.
Yeah, I can't express enough how proud I am of the team here and all of the responders. This is a one team, one fight, and everybody is just committed. It's not just OES, it's all of the state agencies and departments. It's our partners at the federal level. You know, it's an all hands on deck effort. Everybody's got to come to the table. But look, I can't tell you. I think everybody who's here and works at OES either knew somebody or had a family member or relative that was associated with Paradise, and including myself. It's an intense effort. The team is tired. We have been going for a long period of time. They're battle tested, but they're also battle
ready.
They're, you know, wiped out, I guess.
Oh, I see what you say. Yeah.
You know, they're the battle weary, I guess is the word I was looking for. But they're at it and they're going to continue to be at it. Now we're transitioning. The fire has been contained. That firefighting piece has come to a close and now we're shifting resources, to focus on the recovery. And in, you know, this case, you know, losing an entire town, losing all of your commercial, your tax base, there is no place to go. Even if we wanted to clear a lot and put a travel trailer or a fifth wheel or a mobile home on a piece of property, you can't do that in this case because there is no infrastructure to support it. Your water systems, there's no commercial sector, there's no medical facilities. So all of that needs to be address and so basically we're having to work very carefully with the cities of Chico and Gridley and Orrville, our surrounding communities to Paradise, to try to get them. They all have to, you know, in essence, it's become their disaster as well. And so, you know, collectively we're all having to work through this. And of course, you know, these disasters, they know no boundaries and they happen at holidays, so Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you know, it's just a tough time for everybody. But you know, our folks are working at it, and I'm proud of them, and I'm proud of all of the effort tremendous outpouring of interest and support for these folks up there.
Are there services available for PTSD-like symptoms, both for the victims of the wildfire and then, you know, your crew and people that have those secondary experiences with it?
There are. In fact, we have at the Disaster Recovery Center, which is in right downtown Chico. There is a very significant group of mental health workers and folks that specialize in post traumatic stress disorder. There is an area for children to be able to express themselves and work through that. There's efforts for adults and then seniors as well. As you probably know, there was a large senior population lived in Paradise, and so that's a focal group that we're really trying to work on. And then here at the State Operations Center, and in our forward base camp, which is up in Chico, we actually have PTSD teams that are here and working with our crew, and we've got the dog teams to come through, and we encourage our folks to, you know, make sure they take the time. We're trying to make sure we flex everybody's time so that they could be there with their family as much as possible. But, you know, we had a team, you know, had to work through Thanksgiving. They're going to have to work through Christmas. And so we try to balance that out. This Thanksgiving, we had a nice meal here. We invited all the families to come and be in the building with the workers as they were doing their job. So that, those are the kind of things we try to do to make it a little easier.
Finally, Mark, there's a lot of volunteer and charity efforts going on, but the bulk of what you do requires funding. And I'm wondering, will state and federal monies be there for your office to properly take care of the victims of this fire as we move, you know, into weeks, months, years?
Well, you know, I'm pretty confident we're going to be good. You know, obviously, you know, the state, the Governor Brown and our Department of Finance, and of course our legislature have been very supportive and wrap around this, and they've leaned very forward. I know the incoming administration, we've met with them as well, very supportive on what the needs are going to be. I will tell you, in this 3-week period, while we're still fighting the fire and dealing with the search operations, you know, we were able to effectively and rapidly obtain that federal major disaster declaration. In fact, we were able to get the president to come out. It was one of the first times to see for himself what is going on, and there's been a tremendous amount of interest. And we've just yesterday moved forward with a federal appropriations request letter that will identify sums of money that can come back into the state that we can use for this disaster. And I'm pretty confident that we'll get the funds that we need. And if there's a problem with that, I'm very confident that people will hear from me about it.
Right. Well, Mark, thank you for sharing the status of your efforts now 3 week in. That's OES Director Mark Gilarducci with the latest on Camp Wildfire recovery efforts. Thanks so much for being on Insight this morning.
Great. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
And we do have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You can also go directly to capradio.org/wildfire or wildfires. They both work for the very latest on the campfire and other fire efforts around the state. You are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.